Then what happened? Because if you look at the names of Allah that are mentioned over here, As-Sami' Al-Alim, He hears and He knows. Nobody else hears you the way He hears you. Nobody else knows you the way that He knows you. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا Then He accepted her. Who accepted her? رَبُّهَا Her Lord. He accepted who? Maryam, the offering. بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ With an acceptance that is beautiful. He accepted her with a beautiful acceptance. What does it mean by this? Sometimes you offer something to someone, and what do they say? No, thank you. Or they say, no, no, it's okay. Jazakillah khair. I don't want it. They refuse in a very polite manner. Some people, they refuse a lot, but on your insistence, on your persistence, what do? They finally accept. There's a little bit of back and forth, and eventually they give in and they accept. And other people, they take it with a smile, even if they don't want whatever you're offering them. And other people, they take it, they show their appreciation, they smile, they're very grateful. This is what qabul and hasan is. You know, it's possible somebody is giving something to you and you really don't need it. But if you accept it, what are you doing? You're pleasing the other person. You're making the other person happy. If you look at it, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need Maryam? Did He need someone to be dedicated at the masjid so that she or he worships all day and night and learns the deen of Allah and spreads the deen of Allah? No. Allah doesn't need people. But still He accepted her. Why? Because of the way, because of the manner that the mother offered. Because of the sincerity that was involved. So sometimes, just respect the feelings of other people. And accept what they're giving you, even if you don't need it. Even if you don't like it. And you never know, you might find some use in it. So Allah accepted her with good acceptance. وَأَنْبَتَهَا And He made her grow. نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا With a growth that is beautiful. أَنْبَتَ is from the root letters نُون بَاتَ نَبْت And نَبْت means to grow. إِنْبَات is used for nurturing or looking after, giving rise to a plant. Why? Because the word nabat is used for plants. So, ambata, imbat is what? To look after a plant or to make it grow. And over here, it's being used for what? Ambataha. He made who grow? Her, Maryam alayhi salam. The word is being used for looking after a child, making a child grow. Because the way of looking after a plant and looking after a child, or making a plant grow and making a child grow, is very similar. There's a lot of resemblance in these two actions. How? That first of all, it's a full-time job. You cannot leave for even a day, for even a week. If you have a beautiful garden, if you have a vegetable patch, then you say, never mind, I'll take a vacation for a week. I won't be home. Nobody's going to water the plants. Allah will take care. Similarly, I'm not going to look after my children. I'm not going to care about what they're eating, what they're learning, how they're behaving. Allah will take care. But Allah will take care, but you have to do something as well. You are the one who has been placed as the responsible one over the child or over the plant. So first of all, it's a full-time thing. Secondly, whatever you expose a plant to, what happens? The plant is affected by it. If you expose the plant to sunlight, fresh air, good soil, what's going to happen? The plant is going to be healthy. And if you don't expose the plant to sunlight, if you don't put a good soil, if you don't water the plant, what's going to happen? It's going to affect the growth of the plant. The more attention you pay, the better things you expose the plant to, the better the growth is going to be. And sometimes it's going to be very accelerated even. It's going to be very fast. Similarly, a child, whatever you expose your child to, if it's something good, you will see that good in the child. If you expose the child to something bad, something negative, you will see that in the child. Many times we see children, little children, toddlers, they're doing things or they're saying things not because they were deliberately taught to them in a classroom. Why are they doing them? Because that is what they have seen their mothers doing. That is what they have seen their grandparents doing. So, children do what they see. Children learn what they are exposed to. So over here Allah says, أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. Allah made Maryam alayhi salam grow. How? نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. Beautiful growing. What does it mean by this نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا? This is understood in two ways. That first of all, in the physical sense, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that she would grow in a day what a normal child grows in a year. So her growth, physical growth, was accelerated. Within a day, she was like a one-year-old. Within 2 days, she was like a two-year-old. Within 3 days, she was a three-year-old. Why? Because she had to go to the Haykal. She had to go to the Bayt al-Maqdis to study there. Obviously, if an infant is left over there, it's going to be a big distraction for other people, for those who are focusing. So her growth was hasan, how? That it was very accelerated. Secondly, it is understood as that أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا, that in her akhlaq, in her mannerism, in her behavior, in her knowledge, she was given the very best. أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. She was in the company of the righteous people. She learned righteousness. She learned knowledge. She was exposed to all of these good things. And therefore, her nabat, her growing, was also very beautiful. Remember, whatever you expose your child to, that is what your child is going to learn. If you want your child to memorize the Qur'an, then don't expose him to the Qur'an when he's 7 years old. No, expose him to the Qur'an from the day that he is born, even before he is born. If you want your child to pray salah, then pray salah in front of him. If you want your child to give sadaqah, make him give sadaqah from the day that he is very young. If you want your child to speak the truth in front of him. If you want your child to speak nicely, politely, speak politely to your child. If you want your child to clean up his mess, then clean up his mess when he's in front of you, from a very young age. Many times people complain when children are older, they're so messy. They don't clean up after them. Why? Because they were never exposed to cleaning up from the very first day. Mothers get very lazy sometimes and they leave the mess, and only when my child is going to go to sleep, then I'll go and clean when there is no distraction for me. But how is a child ever going to learn the concept of cleaning up when he's never exposed to it? Whatever you expose your child to, that is what your child is going to learn. Maryam alayhi salam was exposed to knowledge. She was exposed to ibadah. She was exposed to scholars. She was exposed to the masjid. That is where she stayed. If you never take your child to the masjid from a very young age, how do you expect him to go when he's older? If you expose him to the television, to the movies, to video games, to the computer, to your phone, all of the time, that is what the child is going to be interested in. So, أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. Ibn Jarir recorded that Ikrimah said that Maryam alayhi salam's mother left with Maryam, carrying her in her infant cloth while she was still a baby, and took her, where? To the Haykal. Why? So that she would stay there and learn and worship. So she took her to the rabbis from the offspring of Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. Why? Because they were responsible for taking care of the Bayt al-Maqdis at that time, just as some people were responsible for taking care of the Kaaba, even now and before. It is said that Maryam alayhi salam's mother, Hannah, she said to them, that take this child whom I have vowed to serve the masjid. I have set her free since she is my daughter. And because this concept was completely unheard of, that a woman comes and stays at the masjid and she is the one who worships and learns the deen, what happened was that initially the scholars, they refused. They said, no way. Infant? No way. And then on top of that, a girl? How is it possible? It's not possible. We're not going to take her. But then Hannah told them about some of the dreams that she had had, and of the fact that she had vowed from before even Maryam alayhi salam was born that she was going to dedicate her child in the way of Allah. So upon this, they said that she is the daughter of our Imam. Why did they say that? Because she was the daughter of Imran. And Imran, as I told you earlier, was the Imam of the Haykal. As Imran used to lead them in prayer, who took care of our sacrificial rituals. Zakariya alayhi salam, who was amongst them, he said, give her to me, for her maternal aunt is my wife. So he was also a relative of Maryam alayhi salam. How? That Hannah's sister was his wife. So he said that she's also, you know, my relative, so give her to me, I will take care of her. They said, our hearts cannot bear that you take her, for she is the daughter of our imam. That yes, you are her relative, but this is something that is very good. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be in charge of someone who is going to worship, who is going to learn the deen of Allah. So we also want to be her in charge. And it is said that there was a dispute, and which finally ended up in drawing lots, which inshallah we will learn about at the end of the lesson. So we see that initially they refused. Why? Because the work was very challenging. Looking after an infant or teaching a very young child is something difficult. It is very challenging. But when they realized that this child is not ordinary, what happened? All of them started to say that no, we want the child. I am going to look after. So it's a big honor, it's a big privilege if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the tawfiq to look after some people who are learning the deen of Allah. It's an honor, it's a privilege, which is why they all wanted that. So what happened then? When there was a dispute amongst them and they drew lots, Zakariya alayhi salam, his name came up, so he was chosen to be the guardian of Maryam alayhi salam. So what does Allah say over here? وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا, and he placed her under the guardianship of Zakariya. كَفَّلَ يُكَفِّلُ, from the root letters كَفَّلَ. كَفَّلَ is to be responsible over something or someone. What does that mean? That you take care of all of their matters, you ensure that they are learning, you ensure that they are memorizing, you ensure that they are doing what they should be doing. So kafala is what? To be in charge over someone, to place someone as an in charge over another, to check their attendance, to check their homework, to check their progress, all of these things. So kafalaha Zakariya, who was her in charge? Zakariya alayhi salam. So we see over here that Zakariya alayhi salam was made the in charge of Maryam alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam was a prophet of his time, and he was also a leader of the Bani Israel. Who was he? He was Abu Yahya, the father of Yahya alayhi salam. He was, as I told you earlier, that he was the husband of the maternal aunt of Maryam alayhi salam. We see over here that the father of Maryam alayhi salam had passed away. So who was it that was looking after her until she was brought to the Hayqal? It was the mother. And the mother is the one who decided what the child was going to do for the rest of her life. She is the one who set a goal for her child. When we have children, or when we think of children, what do we think? That we are responsible for taking care of them. We have to do their tarbiyah. We have to make sure that they're learning. But at the end of the day, their tarbiyah, their training is not entirely in our hands. It's not entirely in our hands. The mother was there, but she did not look after the child. Who looked after the child? Another person. The father was not alive. Who looked after the child? Another person. So, at the end of the day, it is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who takes care of the tarbiyah of a child. Because if you look at it, Allah says, وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا وَأَنْبَتَهَا, Allah made her grow. Allah put Zakariya as her in charge. So it is Allah who looks after our children as well. But we have to have some aspirations, some goals, some hopes, some wishes. Because only when we have them, when we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, then they can only be materialized. If we don't have any wishes, then what's going to happen? So وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَا, Zakariya alayhi salam is the one who was made her in charge. Zakariya alayhi salam was made her guardian for her benefit. What was that benefit? That she would learn from his knowledge, and she would learn from his righteous conduct. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ, every time that he entered, عَلَيْهَا, upon her. Upon who? Upon Maryam alayhi salam. What does it mean by this? That every time Zakariya alayhi salam came to visit Maryam alayhi salam. Why? In order to teach her, in order to make her learn something, or see how she was doing, or bring her something, because he was in charge. So he would bring the food, he would bring the knowledge, everything. So every time he would enter upon her, who? Zakariya alayhi salam. Where? In al-mihrab, in the prayer chamber. The word mihrab is from the root letters haraba. And mihrab is used for several things. First of all, it's used for masjid. What does it mean by masjid? Meaning a place of prayer. A place where a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the word mihrab is also used for the place of the imam. The particular place where the imam stands and he leads the people in prayer. Why is it called mihrab? Because the word mihrab is from harb. And what does harb mean? War. And the Arabs, whenever there was a distance between two people, even if there was no enmity, still they would say, fulanun hariba fulanun, meaning so-and-so was at harb with fulan, meaning they were distant from each other, they were away from each other. So the imam, he stands separate from the rest of the people. The imam who is leading the salah, he stands separate from the rest of the people. So this is why mihrab is called mihrab, because it's the place where the imam stands. The word mihrab is also used for the best spot or the best place in a masjid. And what is that place? The place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped all the time. So for example, mihrab over here, it refers to the room or the area where Maryam alayhi salam was. Why? Why is it called mihrab? Because Maryam alayhi salam was there all the time. And she would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Or she would be studying, or she would be learning, or she would be doing something or the other. That is why her place is called mihrab. Why? Because it is separate. It is dedicated completely for the worship of Allah. And otherwise, a prayer place is called mihrab. Why? Because a person who is praying, a person who is worshipping, he is at war. With who? With himself, with shaitan. For example, when you're sitting in the classroom, what happens? You want to check your phone, you want to go outside, you want to go see what's happening, you want to go home, you want to check your email, you want to do something or the other. But you're constantly at war with yourself. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to focus on this thing right now. So similarly, when a person is praying, especially when he's dedicated himself in the masjid, he's literally at war with himself and against the shaitan. So this is why mihrab is called mihrab. So whenever he entered upon her in the mihrab, meaning in her room, the place where she would stay and worship Allah, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا, he would found with her rizqa, provision. He found with her provision. The word rizq is used for provision. But over here, what does it mean by rizq? It's understood in two ways. First of all, food that is not in this world, that was completely unfamiliar to the people. So food that was from out of the world. For instance, the Bani Israel were sent man and salwa. That was also what? Out of this world. So similarly, Maryam alayhi salam was given food from out of this world. Or it was such fruit that was non-seasonal. So for instance, in the winter, she would have fruits that are only found in the summer. Or in summer, she would have fruits that were only found in winter. Even today in some places, many places in fact, you will only find seasonal food. So similarly, with her, Maryam alayhi salam, she would have non-seasonal food. And if she had rizq, Zakariya alayhi salam would obviously wonder that I am the only one who is her in charge. I am the only one who is supposed to be looking after her. Who brought this to her? Nobody's allowed to come here. So, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقَ. So first of all, rizq refers to food. Secondly, it is said that rizq refers to some scrolls or some scripture, some suhuf with knowledge. Mujahid, he would say that Maryam alayhi salam received written scriptures. Just as Musa alayhi salam was given the tablets, they were written from before. Similarly, Maryam alayhi salam was given some rizq in the form of ilm. Because, just imagine, he is her teacher. He comes to teach her something. And she has some amazing, nice reference book with her. So obviously you'd wonder, where did you get this from? So, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقَ. He found with her rizq. If you look at it, the mother of Maryam alayhi salam dedicated her child. For whose sake? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it that stops us from dedicating our children for the deen of Allah? Their livelihood. I want my son to be a doctor, to be a successful engineer. Why? So that he can make a lot of money, he can support his family, and he can also support me. Or we wonder, we're worried, that if they're only going to learn deen, where are they going to eat from? where are they going to make their money from? But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sent rizq to Maryam. وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. He would find rizq already with her. قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ. He would say, Zakariya alayhi salam would say to her, يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا. Where did you get this from? How come you have this? Where did it come from? And أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا. The way that this is formed, أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا, as if it expresses that what she had was a lot, meaning as if there was a lot of food or there was a lot of knowledge. So where did you get this from? قَالَتْ, she would say, هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It is from Allah. Allah is my raziq. Allah is my raziq. Allah is the one who provides me. And notice, she says, هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It is from Allah. It's possible that some angel would bring it. It's possible that was given to her through some other way. It's possible that another person would bring it. Allahu alam. The exact way has not been mentioned. But what has been said is that هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Because Allah is our provider. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah provides whomsoever He wills, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any measure. What does it mean by this? Without any limit, without any consequence. He gives and gives. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. It is He who feeds and is not fed. Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 14. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
هنالك زكريا ربه. At that, Zakariya alayhi salam called upon his Lord. Hunalika. Hunalika is a combination of huna, which gives the meaning of here, at such time, in this place, and lika, it connects huna. So hunalika together gives the meaning of at that time and at that place. It gives the meaning of time and place, meaning at that very place, at that very moment. Sometimes it happens that we're at a particular place, and at that time there's a thought that comes to our mind, an intention, we want to do something. What do? That as soon as I leave, then I will do it. So we delay it. But hunalika is right there and right then, without any delay. Immediately, da'a Zakariya rabbahu. Zakariya alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When? At which place? At what time? We learned in the previous ayah that every time Zakariya alayhi salam would enter in the mihrab of Maryam alayhi salam, he would find with her rizq. He would find with her provision. And upon seeing that, he would ask her, where did you get this from? What did she say? That this is from Allah. Allah provides whoever He wills without any hisab. So when Zakariya alayhi salam saw that this girl who is living alone, she is given special rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah can give her non-seasonal fruit, or He can give her food that is out of this world, or He can give her some knowledge that I have no idea about, if Allah can give her something, He can give me something too. So immediately Zakariya alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right there. He didn't wait, okay fine, when I leave then I will make dua. No, at that moment, at that place, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what dua did he make? قَالَ رَبِّي, he said, oh my Lord, هَبِلِي مِن لَّدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً, grant me from yourself a righteous child, a good child. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى, indeed you hear all the prayers. We see that sometimes if somebody has something that we don't have or we want, or if somebody has a particular quality that we wish for, if somebody has some money or something that we want, what happens when we see them with that particular thing? Either we feel very miskeen and very mazloom that, oh, poor me, you know, unfortunately, it's so sad, I don't have it. And we feel pity for ourselves. This is how we feel. Or we become jealous. How come she has and I don't have? So either we fall prey to self-pity or we become jealous. But what is the way of the Prophet of Allah? What did Zakariya alayhi salam do? He made dua to Allah. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ, ask Allah for His fadl. Think about it. If He can give something to her, He can also give it to me. Because at the end of the day, who is a raziq? Allah is a raziq. He gave her, He can also give me. So instead of feeling bad for yourself, or instead of entertaining hidden jealousy, what should we do? Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he pray for? That habili. Hab is from the root letters waw haba, and we learned the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wahab earlier. And what does hiba mean? Hiba is to give something that is given without the intention of gaining some personal benefit. For example, when you give sadaqah, what's the intention? That you're going to get some reward in the dunya or in the akhirah. Similarly, when you give a gift to someone, what's the intention? That this gift is going to create good relationships between the two of you. It's going to enhance your friendship. It's going to improve your relationship. But hiba is something that is different from atiyah, and it's also different from sadaqah. What is hiba? Hiba is given only to benefit the other person. That's the main reason. Why are you giving it? Just so that the other person can benefit. You don't want any personal benefit for yourself. You're not expecting any return. You're giving it solely for the benefit of the other person. For example, you find somebody is doing a particular thing, a particular work. They're not needy, so they don't deserve sadaqah. And it's not that they have achieved something big that you're giving them a gift. But you think that what you have is going to be of use to them. For example, you have a very nice pen. They're a student as well. You're a student as well. Both of you write all the time. So you have a very nice pen. They can afford that pen as well. They didn't get the best marks in the class, which is why they should deserve a gift. But you give that pen to them. Why? So that they can benefit. There's no personal benefit intended. There's no goal that you want to achieve. There's no purpose that you want to achieve. The main thing is that you want to benefit the other person. This is what hiba is. So he said, oh Allah, oh my Rabb, grant me min ladunka, from yourself. Why does he say from yourself, from your side? Because what comes from Allah is the best. What comes from Allah is the best. Like we read earlier, فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. مَغْفِرَة from Allah is the best مَغْفِرَة. Sometimes two people, two different people might give you the exact same thing. But what is it that you like more? It depends on who gave it. If your mother gives you something or your husband gives you something, and let's say your friend also gave you the exact same thing, what is it that you will love more? What your husband gave. For example, if you have two things that are identical and you wish to give one away, what is it that you're going to give away? That thing which is not that special to you. Typically this is what we do. So he said, Rabbi habli min ladunka, because what comes from you is the best. The gift of a kareem is akram. The gift of azim is a'zam. So min ladunka, from near you, dhurriyatan tayyiba, a pure child. Remember the meaning of the word tayyiba? That which is clean, good, favorable, pleasing, that which brings pleasure to the heart, that which satisfies a person. So dhurriyatan tayyiba. Dhurriyatan tayyiba refers to a child who is not just healthy in his body, but also healthy in his mind, healthy in his actions, in his a'mal, in his fate, in what he does. So habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibatan, innaka sami'u ad-du'a, indeed you hear the prayers. And what does it mean by this? That sami'u ad-du'a, that you respond to prayers. It is said that Zakariya alayhi salam, as we learn from other surahs of the Quran like Surah Maryam, we learn that he was very old at this time when he made this dua, and he did not have any children as of yet, despite the fact that he was very old. So when he saw that Maryam alayhi salam gets so many benefits, gets rizq from Allah, he was hopeful, and he was hopeful that if Allah can give her something that is out of season, yes, I am old, my wife is old, but Allah can do anything. He can give me a child as well. So he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child. And we learn about the etiquettes of making dua. And what are the etiquettes? What are some of the etiquettes that we learn from this dua? That your heart should be fully involved. Look how he's making the dua. Rabbi habili min ladunka. Look at the words that he's selecting. Habili min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'u dua. So first of all, your heart should be present. And secondly, we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names. He says, innaka sami'u dua. Indeed, you hear all the du'as. So what happened then? فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. So the angels called him. Called who? Zakariya alayhi salam. نَادَتْهُ is from the root letters Nun, Dal, Ya, from the word Nida, which means to call. As you have heard of Harf Nida, what does it mean? A word that is used for calling someone. Ya ayyuha. So nadathu, it called him. Who called him? Al-Malaikatu. Why is it nadathu? What does that indicate? Al-Malaika. So the angels addressed him. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. While he was standing. قَائِمٌ is from قَامَ يَقُومُ, which means to stand. So while Zakariya alayhi salam was standing, where was he standing? What was he doing? يُصَلِّي. He was praying. فِي الْمِحْرَابِ, in the prayer chamber. What does it mean by mihrab over here? The masjid. Or the place that he had specified for his worship. The place where he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned that Dawood alayhi salam also had a separate place where he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, undisturbed. And this is very important. Because if we sit in the middle of everything, either we're going to be distracted by people who are around us, or we are going to be distracted by things that are around us. For example, if you're trying to study and if you have your phone right by you and your computer turned on right in front of you, what's going to happen? You're going to read one verse. Let me check. What's going on? Or maybe the phone is going to buzz, or the computer screen is going to turn on. So what happens when we sit amongst other people or amongst other things and we're trying to focus on something? We cannot focus then. Why? Because either other things distract us, or we ourselves cannot pay much attention. We cannot stay focused. So it's very important to be in a mihrab in order to stay focused when worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a mihrab doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a separate room which only belongs to me, because I have a shared room, therefore I have a reason for not studying properly. No. A mihrab can be even a small corner. It can be sometime in the middle of the night. Imam Bukhari, he would write during the night when the moon would be full, in the light of the moon. That's when he would write. Because that's the time when you can get complete peace. No distractions, no sounds, no noise, no people, nothing. Only you and your work. That's it. Which is why the night prayer is so honorable. Similarly, we see that there are some students of knowledge who have studied amongst many other people. And all you do is study. And it is only in this way that we can be successful. We are so distracted by the things around us, by the people around us, by the things that are going on, that we cannot focus. We cannot even complete our dhikr after salah. We can't even complete our tasbih after salah. Why? Because there's so many things going on. And sometimes we enjoy other things so much that we don't like focusing. So first of all, we see that he was praying in the mihrab. So he was focused on his worship. And this is something that we also need to do. Secondly, another important lesson that we learn from this is that he was making dua for himself. يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. He was praying in the mihrab. And the salat includes prayer and it also includes making dua to Allah, worship. What do we do generally? If we want something, if we need something, we're just requesting other people, remember me in your du'as. Yes, we should remind other people to make du'a for us, but we should also make du'a for ourselves. And look at the conviction that Allah will listen to me. هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. So what happened? The angel called him and he was praying in the mihrab, and the angel said, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. Allah gives you the good news of Yahya. Now notice over here, malaika is plural. Who does it refer to? It is said that plural over here, malaika, actually refers to angel Jibreel. Only Jibreel was the one who spoke to him. But the plural has been used, why? For ta'zim, for honor. أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. Allah gives you good news of Yahya. He didn't say, Allah gives you good news of a child. No, a child, meaning a son, and his name is going to be Yahya. And not just a son whose name is going to be Yahya, but his qualities are also mentioned. What are his qualities? That first of all, مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. He is one who confirms the word of Allah. What is the kalima of Allah? كَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This has been understood in two ways. First of all, Isa alayhi salam, because he is called Kalimatullah. Why? Because he was created by the kalima of Allah, kun. Secondly, it has been said that كَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ refers to the books of Allah, the ayat of Allah. So, مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, this son of yours is going to confirm the words of Allah, the scripture, the messenger of Allah. What else? وَسَيِّدًا, and he is also going to be a leader. The word Sayyid is from the root letter Sin Waldal, Sada Yasudu, which is to be a leader, someone who is followed by others. And Sayyid, like for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمْ وَلَا فَخْرٌ. And I am the Sayyid of the children of Adam, and there is no pride in that. Meaning there is nothing to be proud of. I am just the leader of the children of Adam. So Sayyid is someone who is a leader. So Yahya alayhi salam is also going to be a Sayyid. He is also going to be a leader of the people. وَحَصُورًا, and he is also going to be chaste. حَصُور is from the root letters حَصَدْرَ, حَصُر. What does حَصُر mean? كَلِمَ حَصُر. To put a limit, to confine. From the same root is the word hasid, which is used for a prison, because a prison confines the person who is inside. So hasur is one who stops himself a lot, one who controls himself, confines his desires. So one who has immense self-control. From what? For a man, what's the first hubbu shahawat? Women. So hasur is someone who is very chaste. It is said that hasur is someone who remains unmarried and refrains from sexual intercourse, refrains from zina even. Does not get married, and he also refrains from zina. And obviously for that, he really has to have self-control. One who has to stop himself a lot. And it's not just, hasur is not just someone who stops himself from fulfilling his sexual desires, but also from fulfilling other desires. If you look at it, just the discussion that we were having now, that there's so many distractions, play and amusement, and talking, and fun, and going out. So hasur is someone who stays away from all of these things and only focuses on that which is important. But our problem is that we want to have fun all the time. We don't like studying. We don't like working. Why? Because studying and working means that you have to be alone from people, and we don't like being alone. We like being connected all the time. But he is حَصُور وَنَبِيَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and also a prophet from among the righteous. Now notice, he only made dua for ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. And then he is given the good news, even before the child is born, even before his wife became pregnant, that you're going to have a child whose name is going to be Yahya. He is going to be a مُصَدِّق. He is going to be حَصُور. He is going to be Sayyid. He is going to be a Nabi. And this good news that he is going to be a Nabi, he is going to be a prophet, is even better than the news of the birth of a son. We learn that the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she was told, "Inna radduhu ilayki wa ja'iluhu min al-mursaleen." Verily, we're going to bring him back to you. We're going to bring Musa back to you, and we're going to make him a messenger. Now imagine, a parent finds out that their child is going to be a messenger, a prophet. Imagine their happiness. So he made dua with so much yaqeen, with so much conviction, that, "Oh Allah, you can give rizq to this girl, you can give me a child." And when he made dua with conviction, look at the news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. We forget that all good is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we don't have something, we feel pity for ourselves, we feel jealous, or we strive to obtain these things from other people. We can learn the etiquette from the Prophet of Allah. The etiquette of making dua with conviction, with certainty. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
هنالك دعا زكريا ربه قال رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى مصدقا بكلمة من الله وسيدا وحصورا ونبيا من الصالحين.